what day it is. Huh? Anybody?
Julie, guess what day it is.
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Listen, guess what today is.
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Hump day!
I see a clinic full of cynics. They want to twist the people's wrists. Every move we make, we're all included on their list.
Lunatics have taken over the asylum. The lunatics have taken.
Völkerstreit und Hass untereinander. Er wird gepflegt von ganz bestimmten Interessenten. Es ist eine kleine, wurzellose, internationale Clique, die die Völker gegeneinander hetzt. Die nicht will, dass sie zur Ruhe kommen. Es sind das die Menschen, die überall und nirgends zu Hause sind, die nirgends einen Boden haben, auf dem sie gewachsen sind, sondern die heute in Berlin leben, morgen aus, wo in Brüssel sein können, übermorgen in Paris oder wieder in Prag oder in Wien oder in London und die sich überall zu Hause fühlen. Es sind die Einzigen, die wirklich als internationale Elemente anzusprechen sind, weil sie überall ihre Geschäfte betätigen können. Aber das Volk kann ihnen ja nicht nachfolgen. Das Volk ist ja gekettet an seinen Boden, ist ja gekettet an seine Heimat, ist ja gebunden an die Lebensmöglichkeiten seines Staates, der Nation.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do you still hold these Nazi ideals?
You got any better ones?
Austin Metcalf, honor student, 4.0 GPA, standout athlete. Victim, Carmelo Anthony, violent savage, subhuman, nigger, murderer.
Carmelo pulled out a black knife from his bag and stabbed Austin in the chest before fleeing. Austin collapsed. He died. A fundraising page set up by Carmelo's family with the goal of 100K exploded past
450,000. Family
profiting from a killing.
New cars and new homes.
His representation
having a criminal past, two boys and a single fatal decision has now become something so much bigger.
I'm naked with my kids. I have sex in front of my kids. I'll never be ashamed of sex. My son be breastfeeding, I'll be making love to his mama. That's me, bruh. That's how I get down around kids. I try to keep their purity. I don't want to take their purity away by covering myself up. They're going to be ashamed and cover theyself up. And I'm pure at heart. So you can think in your mind, if I let another kid here, I'm going to have to change the way I am so that your kid could be comfortable around me. No, I'm going to be naked as fuck in front of your kids. My son comes up and grabs my penis. I let him grab my penis. I had sex with his mom. I'm making love to his mother. After I'm done, I'm laying there chilling. He grabbed my penis. He's playing with my penis. I let that happen.
2% black people at 14.5%. Just a little bit over representation, but we're not going to split here.
So then you have to put that into perplexity too.
It's only a small percentage of people doing the crime.
That's the point. That's the whole point of the
chart. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So we're talking about a small percentage of community. But realistically, when we look at the crime statistics and the arrest per capita, y'all are almost doubling.
No, it's the 99 cents per second.
Like forgery.
It's per capita, not per capital. And no, everything you just said is incorrect.
Per capita. But we still have to judge those.
That's not how this shit works.
Statistics
debate.
That's not how math works. If it's 6 million people arrested, we're going to judge it on that. We're not going to judge it with population. That's how y'all like to do that shit. No, we're going to take it from the 6 million people arrested, and then we're going to take on the criminals because everybody's not a criminal.
Amazing.
And the United States doesn't have this perplexity for criminality, like you say.
I can't believe we're actually having this conversation. Do you know what half those words mean?
Yes, we are, because this is how y'all get away. This is how the Jew and the white, like
great,
the
great, great debate. I'm sorry, but you're not intelligent enough to realize how unintelligent you are.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do you still hold these Nazi ideals?
You got any better ones?
Men only want one thing, and it's not money, it's not power, it's...
Are you a man who once said death smiles at us all? All a man can do is smile back.
The rising frequency of anarchist and communist violence in the streets can lead in only one direction: discontent and a rising white proclivity toward violence on their own behalf. The time for talk has long since passed, as has the time of intellectualism. Action is what is needed most in these trying times, and that action must be driven towards our white revolution. Do not get bogged down with the nostalgia for days gone by. Instead, channel that nostalgia into action. Bring about that glorious world that could have been through revolutionary action. It is an honor that we should live in such times that the existence of our people rests upon our shoulders is the most supreme of gifts. Times like these are what birth heroes. The moment you feel any fear or doubt, strike it from your heart. Understand that if it is not us, it will be no one. Embrace the chaos, and from its ashes, a new world shall arise, beautiful and pure, to victory, white man!
Inspirational message. Fuck the Jew.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada, white Europe, white Australia, white New Zealand. Wake the fuck up. Hello, everybody. This is the Sane Asylum number 300. In 20, it's based hump day, April 23rd, 2025. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo, and we have a great gathering of five real white men, but two of them popped in and out, but we still have the legendary James Mason and the equally legendary Dave Gahari. Welcome, fellas. Let's start with the one and only James Mason. James, how are you? What's on your mind, sir?
I'm okay. You know, the openings to your show, you never do the same thing twice, but in each case, boy, it gets me up for the game.
Yeah, that's the goal, man. That's the goal. You know, there's so many whites who are just like, know what's going on, but just feel overwhelmed, I think, and, you know, putting together inspirational things and then having these discussions, hopefully in some small way, wakes them up towards, communal action. But I got to tell you, man, that little vignette, I could have put 6 million of those little Negro vignettes together. I'll tell you, I'm so beyond Negro fatigue and Jew fatigue right now, Dave. It's just outrageous. It just keeps getting worse and worse. Dave Gahari, how are you, and what's on your mind?
Yeah, I've been sick of them for a while, but I'm at that fatigue level where I just look at my
say, fuck. David, at this end, you're garbled up.
Yeah, and you might want to need to drop in and out again, Dave.
That's odd that it happens on this show. Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's something with StreamYard, I guess. So
all the shows I do with James, they're perfect. All right, I'm going to...
You're smoothed out.
It's settling down.
You're smoothed out.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I see Dave here, too. Hey, Dave.
And there he is, only Dave Scorpio. Mike Sledge was here for a second, then he dropped out. Hopefully he'll be back soon. So, yeah, maybe it just was a matter of getting the stream from your location strong enough, Dave. It was digitally pixelating at first, but now it sounds fine. That's weird. Anyway.
I have fiber. I have fiber. So ooh, you want fiber. Me to drop out, put on the VPN?
No, you don't have to. You're good now. You sound perfect. You sound perfect now.
Okay, cool. And you can see I'm still in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, so, Holocaustwood.
Yeah, there it is.
You have fiber, you say? You must eat grape nuts for breakfast.
Right.
I do, and I shit like a bull.
Wow.
Yeah, actually I don't. I wish I did. But so I am tired of the Negroes, incredibly tired of them. And watching that disgusting creature talking about how he allows his son to fondle his penis.
Oh,
of course, he's just an ignorant creature. But
right.
Yeah, it's a shame that these things roam the earth, along with their enablers, the kike. But that's what we're all about. So let's go get them.
You know what's funny, Dave, is even though back in the day of the war of Northern aggression by the Jewish bankers, commonly called the Civil War, even a leader of the blacks, Marcus Garvey, wanted blacks to head back to Africa and have self-determination. Abraham Lincoln wanted it, but guess who didn't want it? The Northern Kike bankers. Yeah, so.
Yeah, of course. Well, they brought them here. So, right. Yeah, of course. They knew that that would fulfill their objective to divide and conquer the white race and use the Negro, obviously, as, you know, the battering ram, which more and more are waking up to. So that's good. It's a great thing.
It really is. Dave Scorpio, welcome. How are you? What's on your mind today, brother? Dave, you're muted on your end.
Maybe you got him muted.
Could you have him muted? I haven't muted him at all.
Maybe he's got to drop out and come back in.
Yeah, Dave, maybe drop out. Your audio is. Wait, I just heard something. He's checking his phone.
Say something, Dave.
Well, while he's working on it, let's say hello to Mike Sledge. Mike, how are you? Mike, what have you been up to lately? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I don't want this information to get out. I just upgraded my fucking internet. And so anyway, I'm on the Wi-Fi, so I should be good. I hope I'm coming through.
Yeah, you sound great.
All right, good. So, yeah. I don't know what y'all were talking about because I just literally was like running all over the place, removing the tinfoil from the ceiling. No, I'm just kidding around. But
what we've been doing, and your thoughts, especially having done so many shows in the past addressing these issues, is the outrageous behavior of these Negroids and these, satanic kikes. They just keep pushing the Overton window towards degeneracy and debauchery that no white society would ever tolerate. And so it's just getting worse. This brutal murder of Austin what the hell's his last name? Metcalf. Yep. By that subhuman Carmelo Anthony is just become like it's broken the dam for a lot of this stuff. You know, a lot of whites are just outraged now because of what's, you know, essentially the dude's got chicken shit bail and he's got a million in donations and now they're living in a fancy gated community. The level of disgust, I can't even put it into words. So your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's actually a good thing that's happening. Like James Mason always says, you got to let it play out, and it's playing out, and that's a good thing because the Tom Mesker, when I used to talk to him, he used to always tell me, the worser the better, you know, and there is truth to that, and this is a good thing because so many of our own race. Have checked out. They're into sports ball. They're into just doing stupid shit, and they're not paying attention. Well, they're paying attention now. And like I've said on past broadcast, guys, I've said on past broadcast that, you know, the reason Donald Trump is a good thing to happen right now is because he's the last barrier between our race and true white leadership, white power in politics again. And what's happening now is amazing. The JQ is more relevant than ever. And the white population in this country are now finally waking up to the white genocide that's been taking place for a long time. That's been brought to you by our judicial system. And this is a good thing. So people are becoming on our side more and more awaken to the fact that they are trying to get rid of us, replace us, kill us. And the judiciary is our number one obstacle with the media, of course, as James Mason always says. And look, I think we're on a roll right now. Look at all the information that's getting out. You know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. The cat's out of the bag. Everybody knows about Jewish power. Everybody knows that the black population are a bunch of animals. And they should be treated as such for the most part. And so I'm optimistic. We're going to have horrible things that happen. But in the long run, we are winning and we're going to win. And I'm more happy than I ever have been. I know that sounds morbid in some ways. But look, you know, it's going to take, you know, I think we're finally reaching the point of peak nigger fatigue. You know,
yeah,
peak nigger fatigue is now taking place in America, and white people have had enough. And look, I know people that I live around here in Georgia that were totally asleep and now they're awake and they're even listening to me on the Jewish question. They're listening to me on everything. A couple years ago, they laughed at me. People I know, friends, family, they're not laughing anymore, to quote Goebbels. They won't be laughing for much longer, you know? So, I'm optimistic. Yep.
So, James Mason, what do you think of this idea that it's beyond gaslighting, it's out and out delusional deception that these blacks, these pseudo-black intellectuals are saying that blacks created every society and blacks invented every important thing. But, you know, the reality is completely different. In fact, they did no such thing. So what do you make of this desperate ploy to attain parallel relevance with white history?
It's not new. G-Man, it's not new. I remember vividly in 67, man, the push was on. God, they were redlining this. Really? And, my Lord, you know, prior to that time, just a small example, you never saw blacks in commercials, TV commercials. They weren't there. But now, all of a sudden, they're there, but they haven't had any acting instruction. And I was personally embarrassed for them because they looked so damn bad. But nonetheless, the push was on. They had some kind of a, I don't know if you can call it a seminar or not, but some little black kid barely out of elementary school and some communistic bastard, another nigger. Hey, boy, you know, I'm not a boy and I'm not going to respond. And they're shouting back and forth. And this is indoctrination. And I saw this on network television. These people, these Jews and their sick liberal, fellow travelers, to use an old term, they are redlining this. And it started then. I mean, they were talking about this. They were quite open about it over 100 years ago. And we've got it. We've published it. And they were hard at work. But now, not just we didn't need to feel the results. We were warning of the results. Now, everybody is feeling the results. It's very little use to tell them anything. Warning them seems to be of no use. They got to feel it, and they're feeling it.
That's a great point, Dave Gahari. I mean, you did that brilliant in black and white with Ayo Kamathi, and then, you know, Ayo seemed to be deserving a seat at the table, and then you know, as we got to know him more and saw more of his actions, he turned out to, you know, kind of not be what he initially represented, and he's very, very anti-white instead of keeping the laser sighting on the Jew, which he knows the Jew is responsible for all this. But it's funny that I don't know. I don't think there's any way we ever can really get along with blacks. And I think a lot of blacks, especially Ayo Kamate, wants separate but equal. They don't want to be around us, and we sure as shit don't want to be around them. So your thoughts on what's coming down? Something's building. This Metcalf Carmelo Anthony thing is like the lit fuse on a dynamite stick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. It's great. There was a some sort of protest in Florida, I think it was, by one of the J6 political prisoners who was pardoned by Trumpenberg. And it was him and a Negro. Seemed like a very pleasant guy. Most certainly had white in him, because you could tell. When they have white in them, all of a sudden they become human. And although I have met Negroes and interviewed Negroes who are pure black from Africa, and they're absolutely brilliant. So, you know, they have an incredible command of the English language, like in Ghana, which English is the first language there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it sucks having to, you know, paint with this broad of a brush, but, you know, obviously that's the exception rather than the rule. I was talking to James before the show. Yeah, I don't want to be around them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to get close enough to smell them.
Yeah.
You know, they could do what they want. I don't want to be near them. And I think
you mean you don't want to invite them to Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, I'm not going to go that far. All right. I'll invite them if they're on a plate and if they taste.
I see.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Dave, you know, it's funny that there's such a pragmatic solution to it. If these vile kikes didn't illegally, like the cancer they are, metastasize into control of this country at every level, banking, governmental, academic, the list goes on and on. But, you know, the obvious solution is to allow people in much of the country to segregate and have no federal laws enforced, forcing segregation. And then the people, the woke types, the arty types, the liberal types, like those idiots who it's up like once a week now, you read about one of these white shitheads from Europe or somewhere that they're going to go prove that, you know, there's no danger So they go on a bike trip through like Afghanistan, and within a week, or even India, they're raped, murdered, and decapitated or hung upside down for a tree. And it's like, well, you proved the point, but it's our point, not your point. But, you know, and allow that to like naturally gravitate. Look, you want to be in a big city like New York with every color possible? Knock yourself out. The rest of us don't. I mean, that should be allowed.
Well, the Jew won't allow that, obviously. And,
yeah. You
know, they spend an awful lot of money buying politicians, an awful lot of money on, you know, on media, you know, promoting this. And, you know, look at the, you know, the zoning laws across the country. You know, the Kike has made it so it's virtually impossible for, you know, white folks to, you know, get together and be in a predominantly white area. Look, you have to form those PMAs in order to do it. And I don't even know if those are foolproof. I don't know enough about them. But yeah, that you were talking about earlier, or Mike was, or James was, about the presence of Africans in media. Well, I mean, they have quotas, right? I mean, there's actual quotas that they have to fulfill. I think it's, I'll tell you, because I looked it up. I think it's something like 30% have to be, you know, Africans. It's something nuts. There's actually quotas that they fulfill. So that's why we're seeing a lot of Africans everywhere. And as you know, I don't watch television, but you know, James, you know, has a couple of channels and he gets to see, you know, Africa, you know, Africa Royale.
Right.
You know, and it's just it's because the Jew, as we know, you know, and this is the conundrum, right? We know all this shit, but the Goyim don't know it, but they're slowly waking up. And, you know, the Jew, like I said, I mentioned this several times on shows. I ask folks, what was the year that the New York Times decided to leave race out of crime stories? And people, you know, guess the 70s, 80s, 90s. And it was 1946. So right when all of these dumb fucks were coming back from thinking they were fighting the good war, you know, and the blacks were doing what they were doing, committing violent crime, and the Jew noticed that it was predominantly blacks creating the violent crime, and they made sure that they took the black element out of crime stories. So the Jew has been obviously doing this for a long time. And that's why we're here.
You know, it's
David,
funny.
David, you're garbling up again. We can make out what you're saying. Okay.
Scorpio, bad news. His phone is fucked. He can't even make calls now. And he was trying to set up. So I recommended to him, and I recommend to anybody, iPads are so cheap now, like a mid-level, entry-level iPad on a deal is so cheap, and you should have an iPad to do your shows and then have your phone separate to be able to text or interact, and that'll set you up. And plus, the screen's bigger, so you can see more stuff. So if anybody's thinking of getting in regular podcasting and all that, you should get an iPad. They're so they're not expensive, the mid-level, and they're very powerful now. So getting back to Dave's story, is I've told this before, but Mike Sledge, you probably haven't heard it, and maybe James hasn't heard it either, piggybacking his thoughts on when the New York Times stopped covering race. So I'm in journalism school, and I got hired as the rock critic of the Milwaukee Sentinel back in 1980 when I was still in school. So I went to part-time and I started working for the paper full-time. And so I was low man on the city desk, right? So they'd send me out to the shittiest stories, like fires on Sunday nights at midnight, or I would go and sit in the main police station downtown Milwaukee, and I'd listen to the scanner. And so you'd be hearing all this this really, really nasty Negro violence in the ghettos, right? And I'm typing it up, and, you know, then they never run any of the shows. And so every rookie who goes and sits there is all excited because, you know, there's so much crime and violence and shootings, and it's never covered. And I asked, you know, and I got the lecture that, look, you know, we don't want to create instability between the races. So we only cover, we don't cover things unless they're really major crimes like murder, multiple murders or murder, everything else that's going on, you know, just we don't cover it. I'm like, really? And so piggyback that on what Dave researched with the New York Times in 1946, and we're talking the same policy in 1980. And Mike Sledge, it's pretty disgusting that the establishment has been covering for these low impulse Negroids for, you know, 90 plus years now.
Oh yeah. And look, let's go back in time here. You know, just as the Jew rabbis that I listen to what they say, talk about how Islam is the broom for Europe. You know, they, you know, the more wars in the Middle East, create more Muslim immigration into Europe. And these rabbis will tell you that is the broom. Islam is a proxy for the Jews, and the blacks were a proxy for the Jews here in the, in America. Going back to the slave trade, you know, very few whites owned slaves. Most of the plantations were Jewish run and this kind of thing. So you could argue that the first replacement, because who was, you know, working on the plantations were a white people, working class whites back then, who were opposed to slavery because slavery was the replacement. Again, the blacks are a proxy used by Jewish power in this country to terrorize our people. And they're doing the same thing with Islam in Europe. So it doesn't surprise me. They never fight their own battles. The Jewish power always uses a proxy. And that's exactly the conundrum we find ourselves in now. And now it's coming to a head. It's bowled over. But here's the problem. They've created a Frankenstein monster, pun intended, in that blacks cannot be controlled. They're, for the most part, wild animals. They're beasts. They're not on the same level as you and I, or all of us here today. And so, you know, what's happening now is kind of funny. They're kind of losing control of their proxies now, which I actually find very interesting.
Yeah.
They're losing control of their proxies in Europe, the broom, Islam. They're losing their control of the proxy here, the blacks, which are totally just out of control. And this is a great opportunity for our people, because now – because they've lost control of their proxy, their Frankenstein monster, the black race, we can now connect that to Jewish power. And I think many people are. You know, who's allowing all these third world populations into Europe and into the United States? It is the Catholic charity organizations, the Hebrew aid organizations,
the NGOs,
and yeah, we know
non-government organizations. Yeah. It's insane.
Absolutely.
I was doing some research on, just to interject and then turn it back over to you. I was doing some research last week about Jewish NGOs, and much like their hive mind that they operate with as a race, they do the same thing. They're all interconnected. And we're talking about thousands of kike NGOs trying to subvert whites. Just turn it back to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But now, see, people have finally are awakening to the they're connecting the dots. You know, I used to say the Pope doesn't wear a yarmulke for nothing, you know. all this is Jewish Zionist-controlled garbage. And they have their proxies. But the good news is that they've now been exposed. They've been put out in public. A Jewish power cannot be denied by almost anybody at this point, you know. And so, and I'd like to talk maybe later in the broadcast about the new Jewish trickery I see taking place within the right wing in this country. Because they're changing.
Go ahead. I was going to say we can do it now if you want.
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
Well, here's my theory, is that when I hear the ADL, Greenblatt, and I hear all these rabbis attacking Candace Owens and Stu Peters and all these type of people, they've changed their tactic somewhat. And that is that, you know, they're never going to call out you or me. They've called out James Mason in the past, but they pretty much quit these days, I think, because they'd rather have to funnel the white population that's waking up into their controlled opposition outlets, in my opinion. And that would be Candace Owens, the Stu Peters, this kind of thing. Sure. And I'm not bashing, but this is my opinion, is that because at the end of the day, they're going to funnel them back into the 501c3 churches, to the false Christianity belief system, and they're going to be de-radicalized. We don't need de-radicalization. We need radicalization at this point. And right. And this is why I used to be on the Hate Watch site, and they took me off, and I complained. I said, hey, what are you doing? Put me back on, you know? I get more listeners that way. See, and this is the Jewish trick, is that they'd rather just ignore shows like this, but they'll put people like Stu Peters, Candace Owens, Ian Carroll, all these new clowns that go on the Joe Rogan show and this kind of thing in the spotlight, because that's the new Jewish trickery of controlled opposition to funnel us back into a de-radicalization campaign, which in my opinion is modern day Christianity, which is inherently tied to modern day Jewish power. That's my two cents on it.
I think you're onto something, James, and then Dave, your thoughts on Mike's insights.
Well, I'll borrow from David Duke. When decades ago he spoke of these people that turned up on things like Phil Donahue or Geraldo Rivera. And again, I was so embarrassed by these people. The Duke referred to them as clay pigeons. If you're a clay pigeon, meaning if there's something obviously wrong with you, you're not qualified to represent anything, much less the movement of Adolf Hitler or anything. They will focus you. They will put you on network television, and you can make a fool of yourself and discredit all the rest of us. However, and I've heard it said by them in recent years, if you look halfway normal, well, hell, Bob Larson, if you look halfway normal, halfway decent, speak halfway intelligently, this worries them. And then they're going to go to ignoring you. That's what they do. So the clay pigeons, the false flags, whatever you may have to de-escalate, de-radicalize, yes, they will focus on these because they're stupid in the long term because they're going to win all the battles but lose the war. But in the short term, they're sharp as a razor. But even I said many, many years ago, they're about 2-3 years behind the times as to what is really happening within this movement. So our friend there that just spoke, he spoke well and he was right on the mark. That's what they do. But the good news is we have good representation right here, right now, today on this program. And that scares hell out of them. The average white American might see this and say, yes, by God, they have some good ideas, or they reflect my own feelings. And if only we had a larger audience, if only we had our hands on this media, the ball game would be up.
That's great. Dave, do you see what, or agree with what Mike Sledd says, that that they're funneling instead of our shows, which you guys, and to a lesser degree me, have been doing it for a long, long time, you know, telling the brutal truths. Now, even though Stu's name in the Jew, it still seems like a weaker sauce compared to what we do. So do you think that there's your thoughts on what Mike says?
Yeah, I think I've mentioned this in the last time we were together, that I don't think there's any overarching, you know, direction, you know, being done by, let's say, the bad guys. I don't think they're telling, you know, Candace Owens or Stu Peters to do this or do that. I think that, you know, people like Peters and Owens, they watch us, and that's where they get their ideas, because we're on the cutting edge. We're right in the vanguard. And they won't credit us, of course, unless, you know, there are some reasons why they would. But, you know, they're afraid of, obviously, you know, going into this territory where, you know, we might say, fuck niggers, you know, and we just don't like them, you know. They're not going to go there. Owens, it's funny, I watched one show of hers last year when that black reporter from The Hill was fired because she was interviewing one of the families of one of these Israeli hostages, supposed hostages from that October 7th, 2023 thing, and she rolled her eyes, supposedly. I mean, I saw the broadcast, you know, afterwards, after that show. I didn't think it was, or maybe during. I didn't think she was really, like, going, oh, God, shut the fuck up, Jew. You know, but she got fired.
Wow.
And, you know, that's something that in and of itself should be enough for the goyim to get slapped out of their slumber, but it's not. But yeah, they, you know, I listened to the whole interview, and it was maybe like an hour or so, and it was good. I was like, wow, okay, it's progressing. They're waking up. And it got very close to the end, and when the whole hoax was regurgitated by one of them, and they fell in line with that. And I said, well, you know what? I think this Candace Owens has no choice but to get to that point where, you know, she starts talking about, wait a second. And she may have already. I don't know. I don't follow her. But I think that, you know, somebody like her, that's a potential that could happen. Somebody like Peters, you know, Peters, obviously now, I again, I don't watch the guy, but I mean, I've heard that he's going after the Jew. You know, I can't see why, you know, Peters, although I don't know much about him, the next step would be, you know, a racial thing and getting it. He has had Germar Rudolph on his show because Germar right told me. I didn't watch it, but he told me that. So we might be surprised. It might be, we might be pleasantly surprised that, you know, these individuals that we're talking about get to the point of not where we're at, because we're built differently, but, you know, get to the point where more normies are introduced to what used to be considered, you know, radical thoughts and ideas. So, I mean, I'm hopeful, like all of us are, that, we're gonna really make some continue to make some great ground this year. And I agree with Mike, of course. I've said this for a couple of years. The Jew has lost control of the narrative, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And once these people see it, they can't unsee it. So it's only a matter of time. I hope it's soon. It's only a matter of time before, you know, your common man and common woman, you know, recognize and go, oh, yeah, it's the Jews. You know, how come I didn't know that? So it's all good.
That's a great point. So, James Mason, what are your thoughts on this ridiculous faggotry by Austin Metcalf's father, who's acting like the good, cucked Judeo-Christian, and he's going to forgive this nigger for killing his son? I mean, I am so sickened that this guy is such an, you know, I mean, he doesn't, it's not a matter of his testicles dropping at some point. He's got a mangina and that's it. I mean, I am so disgusted by that guy. I can't even begin to. So let's get everybody's thoughts on you as a father. If I were, my son was murdered by a nigger, there would be only one resolution that I would accept, and everybody already knows what that is. So your thoughts, James, and then we'll go Mike and Dave. This is just crazy. This guy's such an embarrassment to the white race. It's sickening.
I've been saying for a long time that my generation, and you seldom hear them referred to anymore. The baby boomers, I don't like that, but anyway, you get the idea.
Right.
We were the first generation to part from the traditions of our ancestors. And it's only been getting worse generation by generation because each succeeding generation has a little less to pass along. And it's down, down, and down until we see what you just outlined. A man's son is murdered by this nigger. And I wasn't surprised. When I saw that, yeah, I got a queasy feeling, but I wasn't surprised. Wow. It's brain rape, and we know who did the raping. And it's, I guess you could almost say it's as bad as it can get. We were talking on some of our shows a few weeks back. When you hit rock bottom, the only thing to do is go from side to side. And I think that's what they're doing now. They're just going from side to side because they've struck rock bottom. White self-hate, complete surrender, roll over like the spaniel being kicked and so forth.
Yeah.
My dear God. But if only... Well, okay, so we were talking about the race thing, the Jew thing, the race thing. I want to flash back to that.
Sure.
Because even in the 1960s, and I think I was referring to the Thunderbolt newspaper of the National States Rights Party, I think, if not them, mm-hmm. somebody about like them had a motto under their masthead of the Thunderbolt. If they don't mention race, no, wait a minute. If they don't mention the Jew, their message isn't true. And I would add to that, if they don't mention race, they've got egg on their face. So if we can get the Jew and race somehow past that barrier from margin into mainstream, that's what I would call the final frontier. That's the breakthrough. That's when it happens. The people you were just talking about that were sounding halfway good, maybe. When you breach, or rather broach, the Holocaust, they tend to back off. But if somebody will come up and say, oh, the Holocaust, well, that's been demonstrated to have been bullshit. And if you have any intelligent questions on that, I'll answer them for you. When somebody will say that in mainstream and be allowed to go forth and be broadcast with it, that's the final frontier.
That's a great point. I mean, yeah, if we can take down and get the average normie to snap out of that Talmudic entrancement and realize just what a farce this Holocaust lie is, that would be really something special. I don't know, Mike Sledge, I think we're getting closer. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, and I agree with everything James just said, and they're great points. But here's my fear. Is that the modern day Christian church, 501c3, is completely aligned with Jewish power. And this is, in my opinion, the ultimate problem, the ultimate obstacle we face right now. And I'm not bashing those who are Christians. I'm not doing that, even though I'm not. I'm more of an ancestral spiritual guy. But I got to tell you, it really bothers me that I see these useful idiots, And this goes back to the Austin Metcalf's dad, who was totally brainwashed by Christian Zionism, totally brainwashed by the church, by the evangelical movement. You know, love your enemy and turn the other butt cheek is no way to win a race war. Let me just say it right now. Yeah. Okay. And that is a poison and a cancer that's been pumped and promoted by Jewish power on our people. And I've seen it. I live in Georgia. I live in the Bible Belt. I see it on a weekly basis with people I know. They get a little radicalized, then they go to church on Sunday, and then they come out, well, you know, maybe I went too far and this kind of thing. No, 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 no. This is what I'm talking about. This is the Hasbarat trap that I've warned about for years. They are pushing people back into these 501c3 Jewish brainwashing centers called churches. And what they're promoting is the weakest form of philosophy that I've ever seen in my life. Forgive your enemies. Love your enemies. No, the more pain and suffering we have here on earth, the more power we'll have in heaven, you know, this kind of thing. The more glory we'll have in heaven if we just suffer and go through tribulation here. And that is a lie. The yes. war is here. The war is now. And, you know, a philosophy of weakness is a cancer on our race. And this is why I said earlier that my fear is, and I agree with Dave Gaharie, that I don't think Candace Owens or Stu Peters get talking points. I think they're useful idiots and dupes being used because right. they know they haven't figured out the whole process yet. They haven't figured out the power yet, the power structure yet. And they're going to funnel them back into this weak philosophy of love your enemy, pray for your enemy, turn the other butt cheek, you know. And this is what we see in Austin Metcalf's dad. Austin Metcalf's dad is the literal living, walking version of Jewish religious programming in our churches. That's what he is. And I would argue next to the media, as James always says, which is our biggest obstacle, I would agree. But our second biggest obstacle, I think, are these churches that are totally aligned with Jewish power. And that's my two cents on that.
Well, Dave Gaharie, isn't it funny that even just 100 years ago, the Catholic Church in America had a firebrand white champion in Father Coughlin. In Ireland, an even more fiery priest named Father Dennis Fay. And even before that, there were popes like the city of St. Louis is named after Louis the First, who was so based and understood how evil the Kike was that he ordered every a copy of the Talmud burned and found and burned. And so there used to be, and even the original marching orders from the early Bibles, not the rewritten Kike garbage, but the early Bibles, you know, basically the instructions were go Lorena Bobbitt and you cut off every connection to that vile satanic Jew religion. It wasn't called Jew then, but multiple parts in, you know, early Bibles say, look, that either you kill them or they're going to wipe you out. And so that was the instruction that for a long time, certain parts of Christianity, I mean, even the Church of England got it 1,000 years ago, and it wasn't until Cromwell, the traitor, let the Jew in England, and boom, 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 many of the other European countries. And now today, you've got these vile kikes, Dave, whining to Congress that every copy of the Bible, the New Testament, should come with a warning that this is anti-Semitic. I mean, it's sickening to me. So your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, right, exactly. Very well said. It is. And, I love listening to you guys. It's a lot to take in. So I think besides what you just said, or prior to what you just said, Mike was talking about, the church, how, these fools go in there and then they get a dose of that shit and then they come out like Jeff Metcalf, who got what he deserved because that fool went to that press conference that those apes were having.
Right.
And he says his intention was never to confront or disrupt, but to offer a moment of peace. He says, all I wanted to do was pray with them to show that even in pain, we can stand united. Instead, he was escorted out of the building by Dallas police.
Right.
So here's a completely brainwashed, literally, he's not worth the air he breathes.
Yes, exactly.
Creature, character, who is so brainwashed that he can't even make the connection between humans and apes. So he can't do that. That's like me going into Africa and going into the jungle, after a lion just, took apart a zebra And going in there, it's, you know what? I just want to have a moment with the lion. I want to have a talk with the lion or the gorilla or the baboon. And, you know, this is what this guy is doing. But because he's been so brainwashed by the kike media and by, you know, the institution of religion that is controlled by the kike, he, besides saying, ah, you know, he got angry, right? You all saw the video, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this isn't about race. This isn't about race. This was a bad decision. No. This is the decision that they make because they're not like you, moron. But he doesn't know that. In reference to, you know, the Peters and Owens thing, you know, whether or not they'll get there. And if they do get there to like where we are, they're going to immediately be shut down. So Owens is a Christian. I heard her talking about that on that show, right? Jesus this, Jesus that.
Right.
And I don't know if Peters is, but as soon as they go racial, forget about YouTube, they're all going to take them off.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that. So that's like the dividing line. You know, when you bring up the points that we do and people like us do, that's what makes us what we are. And that's like the forbidden fruit. And so, you know, soft, you know, weak broadcasters like them can look at us and go, wow, I wish I could say that. You know, maybe I'll say it in like 5 or 10 years, but you know, they're thinking it. They you know, it's obvious now, right? When I was talking about that before, I was garbled. By the way, I hope I'm coming through okay.
Yeah, you sound great. It's kind of weird. It must be like what you're using has to build up enough of a stream to eliminate the pixelization. It's really weird because twice you started out digitized and pixelated, and then as you went on, it resolved itself. Very interesting. Haven't seen that before.
It's Josh Who's fault.
Fucking Josh Who.
Yeah. Yes. Fucking who? So, you know, I think that, you know, again, we're going in the right direction, and, you know, it's sad. Obviously, it's so sad what happened to that fella, that young kid, and dying in the arms of his brother, a beautiful kid.
Yeah.
You know, I went last night to my son, who you know, Matt.
Right.
He made the honor roll.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. He doesn't try. He's one of these kids who I always hated, you know, in school. They don't have to study and they still get good grades. And I know for sure he doesn't study. And he made it. So he made this cum laude thing, right? They got the summa, magna, and cum laude, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so they had in this county, Okaloosa County here in Florida. There's 68 counties in Florida. So Okaloosa is one of them. And we're out in the panhandle.
Uh-huh.
Pretty close to Alabama and Georgia. That's cool. Southern parts of those states. And also Louisiana and Texas. We're not too far from them. And Mississippi. What happened was they had like something, I think they said 619 students who were honor students in the county. It's not a very big county, but it's one of the top in the country.
Nice.
And, you know, we sat through the whole thing and they were reading out, you know, the names, and all the students were there except for one student.
Uh-huh.
And then that student was in memoriam. And I looked over at my wife. I said, what? She said, car accident.
Oh.
So, you know, I was like, I felt sad about that.
Sure.
You know, because the parents and the whole thing, they're gone. Right. I mean, any of us could be gone in any second, right?
So true.
I mean, yeah, look at what happened to me with that COVID, right? Exactly. So, you know, we've got an incredible, I know James is so excited. I'm sure Mike is and you are, G, and I know Duke is. You know, we've got like an incredible opportunity here to pick up a lot of ground. I mean, going into the end zone. So, you know, it's unknown, but whatever is happening, it's in flux. And I think we just have to, you know, keep moving that ball down the field and keep racking up the wins, because the enemy is definitely back on their heels. And the only thing they can do right now our past, our order politicians like Trumpenstein and company to pass laws outlawing our free speech. And I've said this before, I'll say it all the time, every day. If we don't use it, we're going to lose it. You got to push the limits. And that's why we all did FTJ. So I'm very heartened by what's happening. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the year being as positive as the past couple of years have been. Really, it was 22, 23, 24, and now 25. It was supposed to be 2020, but they pulled out that COVID bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
So they slowed us down for a couple of years. But next year is going to be even better than this year. So who knows what's going to happen. But I'm going to keep fighting. I know you guys are. And I'm glad we could all be together and do this together. You know, because without any bullshit, because it's a bunch of guys who know what the problem is. Here's the three. The final thing I'll say is here's the three steps to success for someone in this arena. One is you're able to identify the problem, and we all know what the problem is.
Right.
It's organized international Jewry. Two is when you identify the problem, it pisses you the fuck off. And three is you do something about it. So there's a lot of people in the one category, relatively, not a lot, but more and more each day. There's less in the two category who get really pissed off about it, who like get infuriated about it. And there's many less, many more, many fewer, much fewer who actually do something about it. So we're one of the few who actually are doing something about it. And it's really an honor to be on this show with you guys.
Oh, right back at you, Dave. And what's remarkable is I believe it was 2017 or 2018 that you started Money Tree Publishing with one book. Isn't that correct?
January 14th. You know, ironically, January 14th, my dad's birthday, 2017, and he hates this shit, right? He's a pure liberal. He literally, yeah. So on his birthday, not on purpose, of 2017 with one book, yeah, Hosting the Parasite.
Well, you are the little publishing train that could. You now have a multiple imprints, and because you're telling these truths and you've made these connections and you're a world-class copy editor, for example, you took what over 3 years to work with Peter Winter on the latest version of the 6 million fact or fiction, taking it from about 150 pages to over 400 and just tightening it all up and creating the proper narrative. And you've done that with just about every, 90% of all the books you carry, which are now copious. And you've been hammered by the kike, and the way they subvert you is they fuck up your credit card processing. But the good news is if you want to use crypto, you go to Money Tree Publishing. If you want to use a debit or credit card, you go to the brand new Banned by Amazon, which has got every product that Amazon has banned in your multiple imprints, not just the Money Tree Publishing, but also the great Jim Fetzer and his conspiracy investigations are also there now. So you go to bannedbyamazon.com. If you want to use a debit or credit card, go to Money Tree. If you want to use crypto, and either way, use the code GMAN, G-M-A-N, and you get a 10% discount off your entire order. And what are you waiting for? Now you can go get the books you wanted and the books you need to read and then share, because every one of these books has mic drop moments, either write down or memorize a fact or two when you're dealing with a normie who's starting to wake up, and then boom, you drop some awesome quote or clips of the real history that is so obvious to be found at bannedbyamazon.com. It's not revision. It's the kike lies are finally being burned away by the flame, eternal flame of truth. And all these books are filled with real truth. So it's not revisionism. It's finally the truth is seeing the light of day. So use G-Man as your code, G-M-A-N, and either use crypto or go to bannedbyamazon.com and pay with a credit card or a debit card. And what are you waiting for? Go place your order now. All right, Dave, there's my
I'm going to buy right now. Let me just say real quick, Money Tree is for crypto, cash check, money order, GreenPay, e-check, or Zelle. And Bam by Amazon has all of the, like you said, all those, except for the Liberty books. They're on their own site, erasingtheliberty.com.
Right, right.
But, you know, when I started with that one book, I didn't know I was going to do it, obviously. But Felton wanted to just throw the towel in. That's how it started. And uh-huh. So it just shit happened after that. But I just want to make one quick point. You know, I'm retired from the Navy, and so I live pretty comfortably, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm the type of person like you guys, I imagine. We don't need a lot, right? I have shirts that are, you know, 20 years old, and you know, they got rips. I wear them until they have holes in them. So I don't need a lot, and we're not doing it to make money. We never raised prices since January 14th, 2017, and prices have gone up everywhere. So we're not in it to make money. We're in it to get the word out. And people who want real books or DVDs, they can get them. And you don't have to. You know, if you want to go online and watch, I had Dennis Wise on. I did a show with him earlier.
What a great guy. Yeah,
I love him. If you want to go watch The Greatest Story Never Told online for free, go do it. If you want a hard copy, come here. You know, nobody's holding a gun to your head, you know, to do it. But at least, you know, we got it here and they hate us. And if you go to Money Tree, G, and you go to the menu bar and you go to the awards section, we have a new award in there. So I found out from listening to a part of Flood Show this morning that the SPLC has classified Money Tree as a... an anti-Semitic hate group.
Oh, congratulations, man. Not everybody gets those kind of...
No. But they did this last year, and I just found out about it.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, yeah.
The list right here of all the...
Those are the hate groups in... Well, wow. if you scroll down, keep going, and there's a link right there. If you click on that link, that's just Florida. But, I mean, they go after the Deep South. So if you scroll up, you'll see all the states...
State hate in the Deep South.
Yeah, if you keep scrolling up and you'll see the actual states. Keep going. Yeah, right there.
Oh, there we go.
You just passed it. No, you go. Keep going. Right there.
Right here.
So those are the Deep South hate states. And, yeah, so I didn't know about it. And thank you, Flood, for pointing that out. But so the ADL has written about us. And now SPLC. I was wondering what's been taking them so long. So.
Man, if ever there were a more despicable group of vile kikes than those in the SPLC and the ADL, I don't think I can think of worse ones other than the rabbis who raped the little 3-year-old boys and girls. Yeah,
the rabbis.
Well, hey, man, that's awesome. That's a very, very cool thing. And so, hey, you know what? Always when I'm talking to impressive fellows like the three of us here, and sad that Scorpio's phone died, and he won't be joining us for a while, I guess. Hopefully he – I texted him the advice of get an entry-level or a mid-level iPad and a phone, and then keep your phone separate and do all your shows on the iPad because the screen's bigger anyway. It's easier to see everything. But let's start with James. James, anything you wanted to bring up and discuss with the panel?
Talking about the power of the media and of the – Judeo-Christian church. I always say Judeo-Christian. I never say Christian anymore. Their power comes down to one word, and that word is inertia. Because what they have, what they've usurped, can literally overwhelm the senses. And this is what Hitler talked about in Mein Kampf. You know, you're walking, you're some poor peasant somewhere in Europe. On Sunday, you're going to go into the church and you walk into the cathedral, rather, I should say. And what do you see? It's designed to look like heaven itself.
Right.
You may be living in a shack, but now you've just stepped into heaven. Okay, that's inertia. And 9 times out of 10, they're speaking to you in Latin, something you can't even understand. But boy, does it sound powerful. Man, is it impressive. All right. And then to the modern media. so, my God, so choreographed, so authoritative. And I think PBS has, they have a thing like you, G-Man, to just start out each show on PBS and it's rolling across the screen while they got integrity, they're truthful.
Right.
About all these words, and I'm thinking to myself, I know Pravda and Izvestia and all these over in the Soviet Union were saying the same thing about themselves. Okay, this is just what you do. But it's all inertia, and the people who are, you know, room temperature IQ and all that, brain raped anyway. This is coming straight from God, and it is not even in Latin. They can understand it, but they're nonetheless being hoodwinked. It's the power of inertia, and that's what we don't have. But I don't know. We used to kind of comfort ourselves way back in the day by saying, you know, never at any point in history has the majority been in the right, and revolutions are made by minorities. And well, that's certainly a still. We have to penetrate that final frontier and get that Jew word and that race word out into the open.
Great points. Great points. Mike Sledge, your thoughts, and then we'll have you and Dave comment on James, and then we'll continue along to each guy can address something that's on their front burner. So, Mike, what do you think of what James is saying?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. But let me just say this to Dave real quick. I'm not too far from the panhandle. That's my stopping grounds. I was wearing my Confederate flag Panama City beach hat from 1985.
Oh, nice.
Anyway.
I guess we'll be chowing down soon.
Yeah, I got to chow down.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I got a fishing trip coming up down in Steinhatchee, which is a great pro-white town, by the way. I want to throw out that Steinhatchee, Florida, one of the most pro-white towns you can go to in the forgotten coast of Florida. But yeah, man, I love fishing. But anyway, let's get back to the Jews.
I got some fishing questions for you later on.
Okay. Yeah, cool. But yeah, I mean, the good news is that even with the controlled opposition that we face, I call it unknowing controlled opposition because they're dupes. They haven't figured out how the power structure works. Yeah. The information is still getting out. There's no stopping it at this point. And that's what James was referring to is that, you know, look, this is everywhere. You can't go anywhere. You know, read the comment sections of any site, you know, and it's always like AIPAC. I was on X the other day. And AIPAC released a statement praising Trumpenstein, you know, and, you know, for supporting Israel when he came out with the statement that him and Netanyahu are the same on every issue. I don't know if y'all saw this press release from the White House.
I did. Yeah, it's sick.
It made me want to vomit. But, you know, yep. But it is what it is. But the good news is I read the comment section, and I would say 90% of the comments on there were disgusting. You know, when are we going to register AIPAC under the Foreign Agents Act, which is what, and I'm no fan of Kennedy. He was a race traitor, but, you know, that they need to be registered. Actually, they need to be kicked the hell out.
Yeah. Yeah. Even
of
better.
This country
better.
Completely. That's my opinion, but you know, but, things are happening. People are waking up, and here's the good news. You know, to quote the church, I'm going to give you the good news today. The good news is that, you know, people have figured out the corruption for the most part, and it's rising each and every day. And I'm going to give a message out to AIPAC right now. You're losing the information war, and I'm dead serious. They're losing rapidly. And I'll give them maybe 5-6 more years, and I think they'll totally collapse. And as far as the Middle East is concerned, I think that's why the Ukraine war is so important, because they're looking for another homeland outside of Israel. The demographics aren't good for them there. They're surrounded. Their birth rates are not very good. They're looking for another place to build condos, like in South Beach. Right. And Ukraine is the place. And I've been saying this for years. And this is why Donald Trump, after he met with Netanyahu several times now, of course, is still funding the Ukraine war, is still giving Zelensky all the weapons and the money, because that is their original place that they want to go in the first place. So that is Israel 2.0, Ukraine, and it's never going to stop. And my fear is, and I don't mean to get conspiracy oriented here, but let me just say this. The Jewish power, Chabad power behind Putin, is pretty influential as well. It seems to me that what's going on in that part of the world is just white genocide being perpetrated on both sides. So they can have, at the end of the day, BlackRock's going to rebuild the country, and you're going to have a second Israel. Well, a third Israel. Let me say that. Saudi Arabia is already actually, I would argue that Saudi Arabia was the first Israel, because if you look at the history, that was created by the British in 1932 or 33, then Israel, of course, in 48 with the Balfour Declaration. But look, Israel and Saudi Arabia work completely in tandem, and now you're going to have Ukraine as the trifecta, which is the breadbasket of Europe. They're really moving rapidly, in my opinion, to get out of the Middle East, because time is not on their side. And I think Ukraine is an escape hatch. I know I've kind of changed the topic up a little bit.
No, no, it's great. It's cool. Keep going.
But I think Ukraine is the escape hatch for, for the Jews in Israel. If there's any problem there, they have another place to go. And seems like everything is, doesn't look like that's going to end anytime soon. Like I said, the military aid under Trump keeps going there. And here's another thing I like to bring up. All this Doge stuff where billions of dollars have been saved and all this kind of crap. Where's the proof that we've saved any money? What I've seen so far in this administration is nothing but PR stunts on a daily basis. This is the apprentice in the White House again. Yeah. In my opinion,
it really is.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, this second administration is worse than the first, because they're actually accomplishing things for Israel pretty rapidly. And it seems to me that we're being lied to and genocided by both sides in that Russia-Ukraine war. I really do believe that. And let me tell you, I'm half Russian, half German. I got family still in Russia. And that I talked to, and it's not a good thing. Russia could have ended that war a long time ago, but someone's telling them not to do it, to hold back, to pull back. It sure seems to me like it's an orchestrated effort to destroy the indigenous Eastern European people in Ukraine. Another Ukraine Holocaust, going back to Harvest of Despair, and also, it's killing Russians as well. And who's going to benefit from it? At the end of the day, it's going to be the Jew power structure that's going to have another area in which to live and to thrive if Israel doesn't make it. And I think, to quote Henry Kissinger, Israel is on its last legs. Israel might not survive past 2028, right? He said that. Okay?
He did say that.
They're worried. Yeah. But anyway, I didn't mean to mix it up, but that's my opinion.
No, that's the best discussions are. Go wherever any guys want to go, wherever you want it. It's great. Dave Gahari, I'm sure you got some thoughts on Mike's insights.
Yeah, it is. It's heartbreaking what they're doing to those two countries. And it is the Jew, of course. Something that's so obvious to us and to, the people in the audience is lost on the goyim for now. But yeah, it is. It's a shame because they shouldn't be fighting. And obviously, Zelensky should not be in a position of power, obviously.
Right.
But this is how stupid they are. I keep going back to what I was saying about what we were all saying about, Mike was just saying about, how AIPAC will be registered under FARA, right? The Foreign Agents Registration Act, which, like you said, Kennedy tried to do, and a lot of folks believe that the kike had something to do with him getting his brains blown out in broad right. daylight, which I don't know. I haven't studied it enough, but it's possible. But yeah, I think they will be. And I think the danger is that the danger for us and the danger for the world is that because they have lost control of the narrative, which they're certainly not used to,
right.
that they are going to resort when they find out that, you know, the laws squelching free speech are not going to work because they can't. When they start going after American citizens, you know, you're going to have, you know, the goyim who go to church every Sunday and practice, like James said, Judeo-Christianity, not yeah, Christianity.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're even going to wake up. So I think that they're going to have to rely on more desperate measures. And, you know, they usually utilize false flags, you know, blowing up buildings, you know, mm-hmm. OKC, 9/11, blowing up ships, the USS Maine, the USS Liberty, for whatever it is, or truck bombs. Of course, they invented the truck bomb.
Right.
Kike did. Begin did. So I think that, you know, even though it's, you know, feel good stuff right now, I think that we're going to get to an area where they're going to use extreme measures to further demonize us. And we have to be prepared for that because that's coming, because they're not sitting back and going, yeah, let those comments continue on X or Rumble or, you know, wherever else they're on. And obviously so many are waking up and saying, fuck the Jew, but they're going to get to the point where they got to draw the line in the sand, and they're going to probably actively, you know, come after us. Like you mentioned earlier, they come after our payment processor. That's the way for them to limit, you know, the distribution of the material that allows folks to wake up. Like I was talking to Dennis earlier, and I can't tell you the number of people who have called here or emailed or sent letters saying the greatest story never told changed my life. Right. I mean, there's
cool.
There's people out there who are hungry for this stuff, and yeah. the Jew knows that, and they have to do whatever they can to stop it. But, you know, I would not be surprised if even this year they start to deploy more radical methods to stem the flow of this information.
That's a great point. Mike Sledge, do you think that they're going to go that hard that quick? And your thoughts there. And then is there anything you would like to bring up to discuss that we haven't so far?
I think James was next.
Oh, okay, James, my bad. Sorry, James.
Well, number one, the last time, probably the first time, and the most recent time, they were able to come after us with both feet and the hell with the Constitution or anything else was after December 7th, 1941. Okay? Now, talking about Israel, the Jews are not going to give up Israel. And if it begins to look like they're going down the drain, well, of course, this country is going to come in with both feet to bail them out. And it could result in World War III, but it's going to be a big, big deal. Yeah. They are not passively going to give up Israel. They're not. Now, Ukraine, we got friends in Ukraine, Americans who have gone there to fight. Will tell you, and if you know how to read between the lines, as I do, even with the network news, things aren't as bad for Ukraine militarily as they would have you believe. And I guess I just stuck my neck out on Israel. The Jews are not going to quit Israel. I don't give a damn what. And man, there's a lot of pro-NS sympathy, and not merely sympathy, but vocal and active support for NS, National Socialism, in Ukraine. And even asshole Putin says, we got to wipe out these neo-Nazis down there. It's very real. And don't worry about Zelensky. Yeah, he's a Jew. And don't worry about corruption. I've taken this up on David and my show. There's no more corrupt place on earth than the United States of America. So don't worry about corruption. That's a level playing field. That's a constant. Don't worry about it. So, I have stuck my neck out, and I'm sticking it out again. I think this Ukrainian thing's going to come to a head this year. It's going to be resolved one way or another this year. And I've said all along that the only way it's going to be resolved is with something cracking, something breaking inside Russia. And that would tend to focus on Putin himself. So, all right, so I've stuck my neck out. I'm on record. Maybe in a few months I'll have to eat a shit sandwich, but I've said what I said, and I can't take it back.
Well, at least make it an organic shit sandwich.
That's right. That's right.
And I think especially the Likudnik and the Chabad Lubavitch psychos, you're absolutely right about them. They're so hell-bent intentionally using that on you know, creating that third temple and all that shit. They're not going to let go. Maybe some of the more pragmatic ones who want to, because like Scorpio always says, it's too bad he couldn't be here today. It would have been, but you know, technology always fails. It's planned obsolescence. Scorpio always says the Jews aren't a monolith. You know, there's a lot of different competing factions, but I totally agree with you that the Likud and the Chabad Lubavitch, they're gonna all die before giving up on Israel. That's for sure. So Mike Sledge, are you there now?
Oh yeah, I'm here, dude. Sorry, I had to go to the bathroom real quick.
That's right.
But I totally agree with what James was saying. They're never going to give up on Israel. Now, but I always think they always plan for the worst at the same time. And I think they want another area in which to dwell in. But I will say this, that, you know, the reason that Israel was set up where it's at by the British Empire, the British Yiddish Empire is what I call it, is because it's a trade, it's the most important trade spot within that area of the world. It connects the West to the East, you know, and this has always been the case, going back to the Silk Road Highway back in the day and this kind of thing. And it is a pirate enclave for corruption and money laundering and sex slave trading, and amongst other things. And they really don't want to leave that. And I agree, they probably would rather die than give up that territory. But if you look at it, it's more than just Jews. It's, you know, the British system that after Cromwell completely sold out to Jewish power. And let's not forget, you know, the Balfour Declaration. I mean, it basically set up Israel. And I've done shows on this in the past. Saudi Arabia, the same thing. And, right. And let me tell you, Saudi Arabia, if you read the autobiography of the House of Saud, they admit in the autobiography that they are cousins, they are cryptos, going back to Mordecai Moshe, the grains dealer who inbred with Muslim women, created the Wahhabi sect of Islam, which is nothing more than Talmudic Judaism, you know, cloaked in Islamicist. In Islamic flavor, if you will. And so they got a trifecta going. If you can get Ukraine, and I agree with what James said, I've known you, I've had Ukrainian friends, you know, being half Russian and stuff. I actually had family in Ukraine as well that moved to the States back in the early 90s. They got out of there. But the anti-Semitism in Ukraine is through the roof. I'll tell you right now. You're not going to stop that. You know, my big fear with Ukraine is that all these national socialists fighting on behalf of Zelensky will be liquidated after the conflict comes to an end, which bothers me. But I'll tell you, already in the Middle East, you already have Israel, and I call it the second Israel, Saudi Arabia. And I've done whole shows on this. And, you know, I don't think people really understand the history. You had Saudi Arabia created in 1932, 33, Israel created in 48, both created by the British Yiddish, you know, as control mechanisms in the Middle East. And this is where you're seeing, and by the way, take a look at what's going on in Saudi Arabia today. It's becoming more westernized, more and more egalitarianist, and more liberal. And, you know, they've really got a stranglehold on the Middle East. And now with the Syria conflict, another thing that people don't talk about these days is the fact that I think one of the main Jewish strategies for the Ukraine-Russia situation was to get Russia involved and bogged down with the Ukraine war so they wouldn't have the ability to protect Syria, which, as you guys know from the Greater Israeli Project, you know, Syria had to fall. Well, it fell just before Joe Biden left office. And that is, you know, again, ISIS, again, Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, you know, basically ISIS is basically just a proxy of Israel again, you know, taking over countries for the Greater Israeli Project. Now they got Syria. The only domino left to fall is Iran, basically. And sooner or later, that probably will happen. I mean, I really do believe that that most likely will happen. And I think the last meeting that Netanyahu had with Putin, I think there was already an agreement made behind the scenes. I don't trust Russia at all. I don't trust Vladimir Putin at all. A lot of people love this guy. I don't believe this guy at all. I think he's totally controlled by Chabad Lubavitch and the oligarchs that he still has working for him that are all Jewish power. And I think that, you know, they got Syria now, and that's a big deal. And I haven't heard a lot of people talking about the fact that how they took over Syria really fast at the end of the Joe Biden, I call him, administration. And so this is the Greater Israeli Project. There's only one more domino to fall. And remember, it's not just Israel fighting against Iran or Syria. Saudi Arabia is in the mix. You had the Abraham Accords, which were negotiated by Jared Oive Kushner, right? Right. And you got all these other, you got the Arab Emirates working with Israel now. You got Saudi Arabia totally on board. I call it the second Israel. So they really have got their tentacles all in that region of the world. And it doesn't look good. And, you know, and I'm one of the few people that believe that if the United States and Israel really wanted to get rid of Iran, they could probably do it pretty easily. I don't think it would be that big of a deal. I don't think they have sophisticated. I think they're better than Iraq, but not much better. No. We would lose a lot of lives, but I still think they would be able to do it. And I think they're ready to move now while the iron's hot. And I think Trumpenstein is the best guy to be a wartime president, as David Scorpio used to say. I wish he was here because he could say it better. But right. Donald Trump would be a great wartime president for the Jews. There you go.
So James and then Dave, Mike brings up some really interesting points. It's funny doing some research, James. There's some military engagement experts who believe that Iran, backed by Russia, could totally wipe the mat with both the United States and wipe the mat with the United States and Israel, whereas there's others who, like Mike just referenced, who believe that, you know, Iran's more of a paper tiger, and there's a lot of challenges because of the geography. It's a giant country, the mountainous strongholds that you really can't get to short of, you know, using nukes, and nukes is not a good idea for anybody. And so, James, your thoughts?
Well, Russia, they haven't been able to wipe the mat with Ukraine. in over 3 years. That says a hell of a lot.
Do you think that's intentional, that or they can't do it? Are they holding back, or they can't do it?
The Russians don't have a good military history. Germany had them beat in both world wars. And in the Second World War, we know who came to their salvation. It was the United States. Period. Right. Simple. Had them. They were done. They were about to drive them across the Urals, which would have ended that campaign. Germany wasn't going to chase them to the Pacific Ocean, just drive them across the Urals. And that would have taken care of the communist regime anyway. So, okay, case closed. And it wouldn't surprise me if they were to attack Iran, it would be done with high tech, just like it was done with Iraq. High tech. No. This country wouldn't lose that many. Wouldn't lose that many because it was done then. It would be done again through high tech. Period. Case closed. Russia, as I've said in the past, it's okay. When you're talking about Putin and Russia, it's okay to look like an aggressor. It's okay to look like a barbarian, but it's not okay to look like a damn fool. And they're looking like damn fools. Okay? So Russia, to take on this country toe-to-toe, not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. And I say that with full confidence. I mean, that's just the lesson of history. And that fellow, one of the fellows of ours in Ukraine today, said, "Yeah, well, the Muscovites, they're not, they don't want any part of this damn thing in Ukraine. They're bringing in these goddamn Koreans and Chinese and whatnot, and they're not soldiers worth a damn."
Right.
And that's just one of the reasons I think this thing is about to come to a slam and screech and halt. Oh, and on Israel, these Jews are so insane, they really think of themselves as the people of the Bible. Even though we had that one satanic bastard saying, "Oh, we don't worship God, we worship Satan." Okay, well, a lot of them go that route, but I think the majority of them really see themselves as the people of the Bible. It's totally false. I mean, they're the people of the Bible, but they're the people that God said we need to kill all of them and be done, because if they don't, they'll destroy us. Okay, in that sense, but no way in hell are they God's chosen people, but they're under that delusion. And Israel, therefore, Palestine, the Holy Land given to them by God. But it was us. What did we do except fuck it up and lose it, like we're fucking this place up and losing it today? Same dynamic. But it's the center of the world. Europe, Asia, Africa. Boom. Right there. Center of the world, or God's gift to them. It's erroneous on their part. It's a delusion. But that's why they're never going to quit it. They're never going to quit it. And if it really gets down critical, yes, Trump wouldn't hesitate a minute to attack Iran. Okay, there you go. That's my 2 cents worth.
Well, very good 2 cents. Dave Gahari, I don't know if you saw in the news, but yesterday Trump laid out, to Mike Sledge's point, Trump reveals a 7-point new peace plan for Ukraine. And as he promised, according to the DailyMail.com, yesterday published 22nd April 2025, to end the conflict in, open quotes, a day. So Trump said repeatedly, Dave, that he doesn't want anything to do with Ukraine anymore. It's a waste of money. It's blah, blah, blah. So you think he's serious? You think he's going to get the U.S. out of there this year?
I mean, he said a lot of stuff, obviously.
Right.
Nobody's been arrested.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing he's done is he's done a shitload of executive orders, which is good, you know, because it has, you know, it has the left-wing Jew back on their heels.
Right.
But he really hasn't. I don't think he's really done anything, right? I mean, he's surrounded by sycophants, which is good too, because you know you want people who are on your, you know, on the same wavelength, and you can get more done. But I don't see that he can end the war in Ukraine or do much of anything as long as the Jew, you know, is still here and covering both sides. You know, we're talking about the political sphere, right? Like I said, he just appointed an Israeli dual citizen to the National Security Council. So, you know, what can he do? And I agree with what Mike said. I think, you know, Trump two, you know, second term. Well, he was Trump in the first term. Now he's Trumpenstein in the second. Yeah, this term is in this 100 days, which I think just passed.
Right.
Yesterday, I think. I don't really follow the news, but I think he's done more damage to our side. But again, it has to do with, you know, the narrative being taken away from the Jew. And he's obviously doing what the Jew wants. And I think they probably have something on him. And he knows that he can't get too far. Or like that, you know, that possibly apocryphal tale goes when a president gets elected, they bring him into the room. You know, oh, congratulations.
Great. Yeah, talk. We
just want to show you a quick video.
Yeah.
You know, and they show him the video of what happened with Kennedy and the behind the scenes stuff. And they fall in line. Trump's just a man. I think Mike said this is kind of like, you know, the apprentice show. And it is,
right.
You know, really you're fired is. And, you know, the bottom line is like all of us have been saying, like, you got to get to the point where enough folks are talking about the Jew and they're talking about race. And once they do that, then we can talk, right? Then we can actually make real progress. But I mean, we're doing pretty good for having no money and having no influence. So Trump is not our friend. He can't even say the word white. I mean,
yeah, great yeah, point.
How do you not say the word? Yeah, those people in South Africa, you know, we have to do this. We have to do that. What people, you know, are they white? Oh, I can't say that word. They told me I couldn't say it. So he's kind of neutered himself, right? I mean, he brought Musk in to do a bunch of stuff. Now Musk's leaving. It's turning out to be, it looks like kind of a large disappointment, I think.
Yeah. Well, the dude, you know, he's got such an awful diet and drinks like a dozen Diet Cokes a day. So you wonder how truly functional at his age his brain is because of his diet and poisoning with aspartame and all that. So yeah, it's, you know, he started out, he grabbed the easy low hanging fruit, which was going after the trannies and going after all the woke insanity, especially the communist kumbaya communist education union, you know, secretly trying to recruit all these young kids and not letting the parents know that it's okay, Johnny, if you want to be Janie and all this stuff. And remarkable, Dave, that last week the British Supreme Court ruled that trannies are not women, only women are women. And so hopefully we'll see a similar ruling by the American Supreme Court as well. But I don't know, man. I think that his first term he was naive and he was overwhelmed and he let his traitorous little faggoty son-in-law and his batshit crazy Likud Chabad Lubavitch daughter kind of steer the boat. And isn't it interesting that this year, I mean, this term, they're nowhere near this administration, but got possibly even more vile kikes like the guy who owns Rumble, Howard Lutnick, and these other guys who aren't like, you know, being showy in what they're doing, but they're doing a lot of dark subversive shit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, you can't hear you, G.
Oh, I didn't say anything. Can you hear me now?
Okay. I'm looking at the, you know, in the show and your mouth is going, I'm like, oh, I should have been looking at the live thing. Yeah, I know. It's sad. You know, I mean, it only took the, the British court, you know, 5 years to, right. you know, realize that women are women. So, you know, look, we're way outnumbered. The retards, the absolute retards have us outnumbered. You know, Trump and his goons would never, you know, sidle up against or sidle up alongside of us, you know, to say, yeah, this is my supporter. You know, where a lot of, you know, right wingers, you know, voted for Trump thinking that he was going to do something. If this is it in the if this is it in the first 100 days, I can't see, because he clearly, the momentum's gone. There is, you know, every day, I remember James and I were doing the show, and every time we did a show, it was like, wow, yeah, a lot of good shit's happening. Now you got to search for it, and nothing's happening. You know, like Davis said in the chat, you know, Trump, he said, remember, Trump ignored a judicial injunction once. Now forevermore, when Trump does not ignore judicial injunctions, that is by choice.
Right.
That's true. So I don't know. It doesn't look good for the momentum continuing. And I think, like I said, you know, they're going to turn the screws on us. And all we have, literally all we have is right now is the First Amendment. Hopefully we're not going to need the Second Amendment, but, you know, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
And one last thing I'd like to get you guys' thoughts on, and then I'll turn it over to everybody for final thoughts, is a real vile Shabbos Goy is the latest prime minister in the England, Keir Starmer, married to a kike, just dropping, you know, innocent people like Sam Melia, who just put up a White Lives Matter sticker, just had a newborn little white baby, put him in jail for nearly 2 years, is kicking in doors when people online say White Lives Matter. And here's a closed circuit video of this dude. It turns out he's a faggot, and he's making out with some gay member of the parliament. And supposedly, you know, you'd think his kike wife would be aroused by that, because they love bisexuality, and most Jews, majority of Jews, are either bisexual or gay. But evidently she's talking about kicking him to the curb because she's embarrassed by this. So couldn't happen to a nicer guy. So anybody got any thoughts on this piece of shit, Keir Starmer? And looks like he may be leaving soon.
Well, that couldn't have happened to a nicer guy anyway. But I'll just say, the most, you know, we're talking about, well, some of these people may be thinking about, hey, maybe people like us know what we're talking about. No, the most dangerous place to be is partially in bed with the system. Partially. You got Trump. He's in bed with the system. But if I mean, just ask Lincoln and ask Kennedy. <'Cause> right. The most dangerous place to be is partially in bed with the system, because if the system gets the idea, you're either dragging ass or about to jump ship, you're dead. They will blow your goddamn brains out in front of God and the whole universe and get away with it. They understand that. They understand that. Nixon understood that. So they had to assassinate him in the media, which they did, along with the whole, as he called them, silent majority. Now, this is just the way they work. So don't look for too many miracles along that line. Again, we got that final frontier. I mean, to cross that, well, that's the final step. But it takes a lot of balls, and they're in scarce supply.
Man, great observations. Anybody else want to share any thoughts about Frisky Keir Starmer?
Well, let me just say that I gave up on England a long time ago. I remember I went to Europe in 2003. Visited Holland, England, Spain, Germany. And England has been lost for a long time. And it's unfortunately not coming back. And it's going to make a lot of people mad. Good riddance. You know, they really are weak. When I went over there, I was amazed. And there are a lot of good people there. I'm not trying to be a dick, but, you know, but I'm being honest, man. I mean, at this point in time, I think that we here in America, and I've said this many times, you know, we here in America are the last hope of the white race. And I know that's going to make a lot of our friends in Europe mad, and I want them to do their thing, okay? But honestly, we got the guns, we got their numbers. And I really think that we are the last hope here. And the silver lining to all this is that the reason that I wanted to see Trump get reelected was because I knew he was going to kiss Jew ass when he got in again. I knew he was going to do that.
Sure.
But I wanted the right in this country to be totally humiliated and to realize that the GOP, the Republican Party, has never been their friend. The Democratic Party is not their friend as well. It's time to start over and rebuild. And by the way, I think we're getting closer to that day each and every day. I really believe that it would have been worse if Trump didn't get in, because the MAGAtards had to see the Jewish influence over what they wanted Trump to do and what he's not doing. And when I go on X and I read the comment sections, even from longtime Trump supporters, they're jumping off the train. And that is what I wanted to see. I wanted the final nail in the coffin for the GOP to happen under the second Trump presidency. And like I said, he's the last barrier to us achieving a real white movement in the next 5 to 6 years. And I think we can bring that about. I think it's possible. But it never would have happened if he would have not won this election, because you would have seen him continuously troll the media and the news cycle. As Davis Lerman says so great on his show on FTJ, he says Trump controls the news cycle. Okay. When he's out of power, he looks great. When he's in power, he's a Jewish ass-kissing piece of crap. Okay.
That's a great point.
There you go.
Well, so, you know, that'll be a perfect final statement. And everywhere on Twitter X, you're seeing that classic meme of the crying MAGAtard with his lip quivering, saying he's saving Israel for last. It's like, yeah, sure. So let's go with Dave, final word, and then we'll give the real final word to the legend, James Mason.
When James was talking about Nixon, yeah, they also took out Agnew, right, James?
Oh, you bet they did. Yeah. And Agnew was noted for attacking the media, but he would stop short of attacking the Jews.
Right.
Nonetheless, they got a little worried about him, and out he went.
Oh, yeah, they took him out. And Mike, I think that you're right about the UK. Good riddance. I mean, why would anybody want it to last in the condition that it's in? It's right. Rotting, and it's going to start, you know, spoiling. The wounds are going to fester. It's done. You know, it's done. France is, you know, I think Paris is majority Muslim, the population. Germany is seeing knife attacks constantly. So yeah, it's a joke. And yes, the reason that obviously the First Amendment is where it's at, the Second Amendment is there to protect the First Amendment. There's a reason for that. We're not talking about going out and shooting anybody. We're talking about the reality of politics, the reality of human nature. It is never give up your guns, because they will come for you. I think Dennis said that on the show today, Dennis Wise, who's in the UK. He said, I said, do you have anything to say? He said, Americans never give up your guns. And that's the truth. Yep. You can't, because humans are humans, and they and we know that Goyim are like the Walking Dead. As soon as the Jew rings a bell, they'll start coming after us. That's just the way it is. It's been that way throughout history. We got to keep our guns. We got to keep our vocal cords. We got to keep the pressure on, and we got to keep fucking the Jew.
Oh, what a great final statement. Now, James Mason, want to give you the final word, but I do want to observe that one of the greatest uses of alliteration ever in mainstream history was when Spiro Agnew described the media as the nattering nabobs of negativism.
Yes. Yes.
And so what an honor it is to have three hardworking legends of white alt media, Dave Gahari, Mike Sledge, and of course, James Mason. We're going to give James Mason the final word. Just want to make a point that one of the beauties of FTJ is Dave gives 97% of every donation to the host. He only covers the processing fee. You just go up to that little green button anytime you're watching a live show and donate via your FTJ wallet. Or if it's after the show, you can go down underneath the host replay right there, tip using your FTA wallet. So don't forget, if you can afford it, support the host. You know, for every hour of broadcast or webcast in this case, you know, hosts spend 3 to 4 or 5 hours researching, finding clips, blah, blah, blah. So if you like the content, support the host. Makes life a lot easier for every host. So James, again, man, what an honor, all three of you guys, to have you here. And, give us your final thoughts and take us out.
Okay, to underscore what Mike Sledge had to say about this country being the last hope, George Lincoln Rockwell stressed the same thing. And he went down the line of these European countries who even 60, 70 years ago were pretty well to be counted out. But yeah, so Rockwell stressed that. And I, you know, I tend to agree, as they say. But on the obverse side, if you want to get it from another angle, you got Che Guevara, the commie, who said some of these commies up here back in the 60s, oh, I envy you because you're there. You're in the belly of the beast. Okay? Well, here's where it's at. He was stressing. Here's where it's at. And when he's talking about the beast, he's talking about white civilization and the white race.
Right.
The guy himself was white, but a sicko and a dedicated commie. But yet he said that. So you look at it from both sides, and there you have it. It is here. Nowhere but here.
Fantastic, man. We'll do this again next month. Hopefully Scorpio will have his texts solved by then. And I just want to thank Mike Sledge. You can follow Mike at the @ on Twitter, infamous. Letter M beep, infamous M beep, clever handle. You can follow Dave Gahari at D Gahari 94270. You can follow myself, the word of G, something or other. You can follow Dave Scorpio at David Scorpio 33. Don't forget, it's time to go buy some books at Banned by Amazon or at Money Tree if you want to use crypto. And tune in tonight. This afternoon and every day, you know, you've got Davis Lerman, the incredibly talented Flood, Nick from Night Nation Review, Daniel Christos Ballbusters, and you know, a dozen other hosts. And one last thing to remember is you can also join us, FTJ Pro. In fact, a week from Friday, we're going to have Jeffrey Doherty, the Christian Whisperer, just a brilliant guy, a former Christian pastor who woke up and now he's singing the praises of Adolf Hitler and the pagan beliefs, the ancient beliefs. And he and Glenn Streeter are going to be the guests of Zach and I. But Jeffrey came aboard with FTJ Pro. It's $5 a month or $50 a year. And you can put up your shows, your books, your music, your videos, whatever you want, just so long as it's based, you know, no kike bullshit, no nigger bullshit, no faggot bullshit, no tranny bullshit, no woke bullshit. This is white. And if you want to join FTJ Pro, you'll be based like us. All right, everybody, have a great rest of the week. Tune in with Davis and everybody else later today. And I want to thank you all. Don't forget, if you can afford to, donate to all the hosts. God bless everybody, and we're done for now. Bye now.
Bye-bye.